We have a very large subject on our mind this morning, and I ask your prayers. I want to turn to a very familiar scripture with you this morning, and a scripture that has been quoted from among us here at Bethlehem and various other places a lot of different times. But I want to begin reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I will read verse 14 through 17 and chapter 4, 1 through 5. So that's pretty good reading. But if you have your scriptures, read with me. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Your afflictions do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." And there is a lot more in this, but my subject this morning is doctrine. There is some folks in various other organizations that say we're not really interested in doctrine. But notice the scripture. It says, first of all, Paul here is talking to Timothy. He said, "From a child you have learned and known the scriptures." We as husbands and fathers, we are to teach our children when they're young the scriptures. He says, "Bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." So when we're teaching the scriptures, we're teaching doctrine. It's very interesting for people that think that maybe the word doctrine, when we talk about doctrine, we're talking about those deep, deep secrets, which is, there are a lot of doctrines that we as Primitive Baptist and other churches believe what we call the doctrines of grace. There is the doctrine of creation. There is the doctrine of depravity. There is all kinds of doctrines. But I want you to understand what it says, that the scriptures are inspired of God. So when we read this book, we're reading God's inspired word. So when we, and it says all scripture. Now when we're looking at this from this standpoint, the scriptures that's under consideration here, of course, is the Old Testament. There was no scripture the scripture in the New Testament was being written at this time. There are 66 books in the Old and the New Testament. 39 of those are in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. And so we need to understand that when he talked about scriptures, he was talking about the Old Testament. So when we, and Jesus himself, he said, "Search the scriptures. For in them, the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me." So when we look at the scriptures, we know that the word scripture simply means holy writing. Holy writing. Now, I have some notes here. I hope you don't mind that, but I just want you to understand what the word, I want to give you the word, the definition of doctrine, first of all. You know, we're supposed to define our terms. Doctrine. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles of truths taught by Christ and his apostles. Will you take that definition? The word doctrine simply means teaching, instruction. Now, we have various other organizations in the world that are not Christian. They have doctrine. There is the doctrine of Islam, their dogma, their teachings, their instruction. There is the doctrine of old philosopher called Plato. He had a doctrine, and he taught his teaching to his followers. When we look at the word doctrine, we want you to understand that Socrates and all these big philosophers of the world, they had doctrine. But if we're going to talk about God's doctrine, if we're going to speak about God's doctrine or the doctrine of Christianity, you must teach that from the Scriptures. I have no authority to teach anything other than what is in the book of in the Word of God. Now, you may not agree with everything I teach out of the book, but I want you to understand that what I am teaching is what I believe. And if you disagree with me, you are to be more noble than those in Thessalonica, which they got upset and went away puffed up and was angry about what was being taught. But we are to be like the Bereans. When you hear something taught in this pulpit or any other place, radio, television, wherever it is, you have the barometer for all teaching is thus saith the Lord. So when you're talking here about doctrine, those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that being taught was true. Now, I can get up here and I can preach all kinds of stuff, and if you don't know what the Bible says, you'll just soak it up and say, oh, that's great. But you see, God has given us the Scriptures and ministers so that we can know the truth. It doesn't make any difference what I tell you if it's not true. There's plenty of lies going around, isn't there? Now, I want to go to the very first place in the Bible where the word doctrine is used. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I'll read to you verses 1 through 4. Now, he says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Now, whose mouth? Can we figure out who's speaking here? You know, when we look at all of these, there's probably 40 different writers in the Scriptures. Are they giving their opinions about what they think? I want you to understand when Paul and all of these other verses, all of these other people when we're reading the Word of God, you must always go back to that Scripture. There is a lot of different writers, but there's one author. One author. And it's God. That's why it's it. Now notice he says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth, my doctrine." Now the Scriptures. I want you to ask you this question: whose doctrine is this? This is not the doctrine of Moses. Moses is the author. He's the writer. But the author is God. This is God's doctrine. So when we're talking about doctrine, remember, the doctrine is the principles of truth as taught in the Word of God. And so he says, "My doctrine shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb and the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. The word publish means to proclaim. I want to publish the name of the Lord. So God's doctrine is the same as Paul's doctrine, wasn't it? So he said, I will publish the name of the Lord. And the word Lord there, I've said this 100 times to you. The word that Lord there is in all capital letters. You say, well, what's the significance of that, Brother Allen? Well, in the King James Version, which I think is the best of all, the word, when the word Lord is used, Brother John, in the King James Version, in its all capital letters, it is Jehovah God. It is Jehovah God, which is the I Am's of the New Testament. Jesus said, I am. Well, Moses asked the question, whom do, when he said, oh, go over there to Pharaoh, and who shall I say sent me? He said, I am that I am has sent me. I am Jehovah. So the word Lord here is Jehovah speaking. We sing the song, I love to hear Jehovah speak, don't we? Do you love to hear Jehovah speak? Well, you're hearing Alan read Jehovah's words this morning. Jehovah, Jehovah, the word Lord there. Now notice it says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness to our God. He is the rock. I want you to sink in a little bit, because Jesus built something on a rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. Now that's God's doctrine. That's the doctrine. God. Now I want you to notice something very specifically about this text. It says, my doctrine, my teaching shall drop as the rain. Now we have rain coming down outside. Wonderful rain. We have needed rain. And we've prayed for rain. And we should be thankful for rain. But I ask you this question. Does the rain give life? If there's a dead plant out there, and we have some dead trees, I think, or maybe our dying trees, Brother Tom, you can water them dead trees all day long, and it's not going to help them. So my point here is this. The doctrine as coming down, and sometimes the rain, and it did last night, it comes in heavy, just, I mean, like buckets. And sometimes the doctrine comes in buckets. Sometimes it comes pretty heavy. But you know what the best rain is? Now listen, the best rain is small drops and almost like the dew, gentle, soft rain. I can hear it. You hear that rain? Gentle. Now, doctrine, and the doctrine of God, it says it comes and it distills as the small dew, as small rain upon the tender herb. Now, if you have some flowers out here, especially and nowadays, and it comes really hard rain, it'll beat them flowers right on down. But if you have a real gentle, soft rain, it'll just kind of drop off of them. And it'll make them really grow good. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and distill, and the tender herb, as showers upon the grass. Now, what does that do for the? What does rain do for the grass and the flowers? It makes them grow. It makes them flourish. It makes them prosper. And it makes them beautiful. And that's what the doctrine does for God's people. Brother John, it said that this is for God's people. It said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The scriptures are God, these are God's letters. These are God's instruction for you. Have you read them? Did you read? Oh, I read them last week. Whenever I have time, I read a little here and a little there. But you know, I'm so busy. And if you're like me, you watch too much TV. Or you've got too many electronic devices that you're playing on. Things that take up your time and you dismiss that which is best for you. That which makes you grow and prosper and become fluent in the teachings of the Word of God. Now then, that's the doctrine, and it's the doctrine magnifies God. He is perfect. All of His ways are judgment. A God of truth. You want to know what truth is? That's what Pilate asked the question. What is truth? But you know what? Mr. Tommy walked away before he could get the answer. We don't really want the truth. Remember that movie? Huh? You can't handle the truth. Can we handle the truth? You see, the truth, sometimes we don't want it. Not PC. The sermon first Sunday wasn't a bit PC. But I'm telling you one thing, dear brothers and sisters. If you can go to listen to Brother Harvey's message dozen times, and then you come back and tell me where he missed it according to the Word of God, and we'll talk it, we'll call Gary up, and we'll get him on the phone and say, you've missed this, boy. Don't be coming telling me something that you don't know anything about unless it's on the Bible. I don't care about your opinions. That's what Brother McCarthy said. I don't care about your opinion. I got one of them. I want to know what the Bible says about it. All right. Now then, another one in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Listen, this is Solomon. Hear ye children. Now, who is he talking to here? Is he talking to little kids? He said, yeah. Just like all of you. That's what John says, my little children. We're all little children in God's eyes. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Now, you know, there's people say, well, I just don't understand that. And so we close the book and we walk away. Do you want to know more about Jesus? More about Jesus would I know. Now notice verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. This is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2. I give you good doctrine. The question is asked one time, if your son asks you for a fish, will you give him a stone? Is God going to give us things that we... He says, you have not because you ask not. But you see, he says, these are the doctrines that I give you. Listen to me. I know more than you. God said that. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Sometimes we hear things, and because of some kind of distraction or something that's going on around us, it goes in here and just like the wind goes out the other side. This doctrine's not going to do you any good unless you retain it, understand it, and you put it to practice in your life. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments. Listen to this. Keep my commandments and live. We could say, don't keep my commandments and die. If you want to live, and I'm not talking about living eternally. I'm not talking about going to eternal glory or having your sins removed. I'm not talking about dying naturally. I'm talking about dying or living in the kingdom of God and enjoying the fellowship of God all around you and being able to understand that no matter what else happens in this world, He's with me. He is my rock. He is my shepherd. Now then, this next verse is in Isaiah chapter 28. And this is a question. Question time, listen up. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? What's the answer? Well, first of all, if you haven't already got the Spirit of God in you, you don't give a hoot about this doctrine. I couldn't pour it inside of you. But if you are His children, and it says, and the question is, who's going to understand this? Them that are weaned from milk. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I have a lot of things I need to tell you, but you're just babies. That's kind of insulting to some. What do you mean I'm a baby? Well, because you can't have me. This doctrine's choked you. You feed babies milk. But those who have doctrine, he says, those that are weaned from the milk, those that have been drawn from the breast, weaned. Are you still drinking milk? Or do you like meat? I like a good old bloody juicy steak sometimes, don't you? Just to chew on that thing. It's good, but if you don't have any teeth, you can't chew it. You're a little baby. You choke it. You'll just choke on it. But who is God going to be able to teach doctrine? Those that have been weaned. You know, the Apostle Paul said to those one time over in Hebrews, he said, you ought to have been teachers. People in the church for 25, 30 years, can no more tell me what they believe? Hell, I know. Listen to me now, Brother Allen. Now you're being there insulting. I know what I believe. Well, what do you believe? I believe what the church believes. What does the church believe? They believe what I believe. What do you believe? I believe we all believe the same thing. And I know what I believe, but I just can't explain it. Shame on you. Now listen, he says, precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people. Now then, okay, that's the doctrine. Now there, we could go a long ways. I mean, the whole scripture is doctrine, Brother Chris. But it teaches about Jesus. You see, the Old Testament doesn't shine light on the New Testament. Does it? The New Testament is the light that shines back on the old and brings those things to our knowledge. Where would you be if God had not sent His Word? He said they love darkness rather than light. But you see, God sent. Isn't it strange, or do you think it's strange that He says, Brother Chris, that He is the Word of God? The Word of God. That's what Jesus was called.
He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Why did he say Word? A word is a word is a word. You see, one of the scriptures I already quoted, it says, preach the Word. What am I going to preach? I'm going to preach this Word. I have no authority to preach anything other to you than what is in this Word. But what am I going to preach? I'm going to preach about the Word. I'm going to tell you about the Word. The living Word. The reason he's called the Word, Brother Chris, is because he is the divine expression of God. We would never have known God without Jesus. He came, he sent his son. Oh, you know some of the things over there in the Old Testament, but you'd be like Isaiah, I mean, like the person, the eunuch, he'd say, well, I read over there in Isaiah 53, but I don't really get it. Who's that talking about? Is he talking about himself or a prophet or who's that? Who's that? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. He is the Word. He is the divine expression of God. Jesus said, when you see in me, you see in the Father. You want to see God? Look at Jesus. He's God. Now then, I want to examine a little bit the doctrine of Jesus. What was Jesus' doctrine? Did he have a doctrine? What was his doctrine? We find Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It says that he left the multitude and he went up into a high mountain. And I like what someone of the, maybe Brother Gary or somebody last week, he said, in order for you to hear God, you've got to go up. But he left the multitude and he went with his disciples and he went up into a high mountain. And it says when he was set, he taught them. And you can read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Wonderful. Called the Sermon on the Mount. But Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is all red letters. You want to know what Jesus' doctrine is, Brother Tom? Read that. A lot in there more than just eternal things. He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. People say, what? That means a straight is the way and narrow is the, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to eternal heaven. And few there's going to be that finds it. That don't have one thing to do with your eternal life, but it has a lot to do with your life here in this world. He said, broad is the way and broad is the gate that leads to destruction and many go in thereat. Now, you got there entering into this doctrine. And understanding this doctrine is going to take some work. But listen to what Jesus said at the close of that wonderful sermon. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Have you ever been astonished? What does that mean? I mean, these people, they just took back. I said, that's a little, and let me give you the definition of astonished. The root word is being silent. Struck dumb with amazement. That's what they did. I mean, it floored them. And it said, as if by a blow on the head, a shock, to throw into wonderment, to make afraid. They were afraid of him. The state of being surprised, startled, stunned by some exceptional wonder, some overwhelming event or miracle. Amazing. You ever been astonished? You would have been astonished if you'd have been back there and saw what Jesus did.
Now, again, I've got to hurry. The same. Now, this is in Matthew 22. The same day when he came to the Sadducees, he came to the Sadducees. That's an important point. What about them guys? They say there's no resurrection. Now, there's a doctrine that we need to learn, and it's called the doctrine of the resurrection. Do you believe that? You know, that's a marvelous thing. But there are some people, and there were some people in Paul's time that did not believe in the resurrection. He said, why do some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection, then you're not. Then Jesus is not raised. And if Jesus is not raised, then all that are fallen asleep are perished, and our faith is vain, and our preaching's vain if there's no resurrection. You see, there's a great doctrine taught in the Bible about the resurrection. And Jesus is going to here in just a few words teach these people the doctrine of the resurrection. They say, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, my wife giving me the eye. Now, that was under the old law. Now, there were seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife and his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And at last, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. I mean, there's a group of people today, I can take you to them, that believe if you're married in the temple, you're going to be married in heaven. Now, I was just saying, read Jesus' words. You do err. You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry or they given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, the word, there's a key word there, John Harvey. As. It didn't say that they, when you die, you're going to be an angel, did it? But it said you're going to be as angels. And what comparison are you going to be an angel? There's not going to be any gender in heaven from the standpoint of procreation. Can I say that? But you're going to be as the, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read which it was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am, not I was, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Now he taught there very specifically. Now, I don't know where the bodies of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are, but God knows where they are. And he says, I am their God, and they're all dead. I am their God. So, he is here teaching them that the resurrection has to do with your body, your soul, and your spirit in heaven. The resurrection doesn't have to do with your... I mean, it's now, I want to make that clear. You might get to say, well, Brother Allen, the resurrection has to do with the body. The body is what's raised, but the soul and spirit's already there. All right, where's the body of Moses? The devil disputed with the Lord over it one time, you remember? The bones of Moses. All right, let's move on. We got a long ways to go. All right, now then, I want to get one more. No, I'm going to skip that one, and I'm going to go to, I got too many places to go here. I want to... read out of John chapter 7, and I'm going to read 14 through 20. John chapter 7. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. What did he teach? He taught doctrine. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned them? And they were, again, Brother John, they were astonished. They were amazed.
at this man who is a carpenter's son. And he said that they asked the son, can anything come out of that place down there called Nazareth? Yeah. This is a bad old place. What did Nathaniel say? Come and see. That's all we need to do. Come and see. And Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine. That's what, now I want you to understand what Jesus is speaking here as the man Jesus. He said, my doctrine is not my doctrine, but it is his doctrine that sent me. I read to you the doctrine of God out of Deuteronomy. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. He said, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. You will know the doctrine? It says, if any man will know, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether he speak something of himself. So when we, how are you going to know if this is true? Go to the book. If it ain't in there, then it ain't true. That's not right, is it? But anyway, but he that seeketh his glory that sent me, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why do you go about to kill me? They said, we didn't go about to kill you. And notice what they said about Jesus. Just because he said this to them, you have a devil. What kind of people is it that calls the Son of God a devil? You have the devil. The things that you're saying those things in the name of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Now, here, there is people today, you may not think so, but there are people today that thinks that we have the same doctrine, and they'll cut your head off for even mentioning Jesus. You have the doctrine of devils. And they say America is a nation of devils. You don't believe me? Just turn on your TV and you'll find these people proclaiming their doctrine. Now then, I want to read to you in Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah. And listen very carefully, because there is a doctrine that is being set forth here in this verse in Isaiah that is very fundamental principle to what we as the Primitive Baptists believe. And it's called the doctrine of total depravity. Okay? Now this is Isaiah. I want to read the verse first. The vile person will speak vanity, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the curl, C-H-U-R-L, are evil. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even with when the needy speaketh right. Now then, I want to put that verse under the microscope for you this morning. And we're going to look at the words. The vile person. I looked all these up, and some of these come out of Oxford. Some of them, and Brother Gary said about Oxford, it was before 1611, so you can take it. These are the definitions of this person. The vile person. This is what it says. Stupid, wicked, and dishonest fool. Oh, that's Brother Allen. I'm just telling you what the word. Words have meaning. That's not PC, I know. This person will speak vainly. That means foolishly. And his heart will work iniquity. Iniquity means evil mischief. To practice hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is setting forth a false appearance of virtue, making a deceitful show of good character. Long definition, it simply means they're fakes. All right. And
They utter error. That's falsehood against Jehovah. They utter falsehood against Jehovah. What did they say about Jesus? He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If you follow me, they're going to hate you. Now, sometimes I read or heard a book here a while back. It says, back to Columbine. Remember what happened at Columbine? The little girl, all she had to do was decant and say, I don't believe that Jesus is my Savior. Say that and I won't kill you. She wouldn't say it. These people speak evil against Jehovah to make empty soul, the hungry, of the hungry, and will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The word fail there means to sink in faint and despair and are ready to die away. Faint, fail. The instruments, that's wicked devices, the devices, the things that they use, the instruments that they use also of the curl, that word, that's a word you don't hear. If I ask you what C-H-U-R-L means, you'd say, I don't have a clue. Well, that's why I won't tell you what it means. It means simply a deceiver. Okay? He's a deceiver. So it says, the instruments of the deceiver, the curl, are wicked, are evil. The word evil means produces that which produces pain, distress, loss of peace, and unhappiness. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even with when the needy speaketh right. Now I want to give you the read that all together and give you the literal. You won't like this. I'm going to give you the literal interpretation of Isaiah 32, 6 and 7. You ready? All right. This dishonest, stupid, wicked fool will speak foolishness, and his heart will work evil mischief by setting forth a false appearance of virtue, making a deceitful show of good character, by setting forth false appearance of virtue while speaking falsehood against God, causing the hungry and thirsty soul to sink in faint and despair and depression. The wicked devices of the deceiver produce pain, distress, loss of peace and happiness to the child of God. His whole purpose is to use lying words to destroy the poor and needy, and even when that poor and needy is speaking truth. That's what the verse means. There's some bad people out there. Now then, I'm just about done here. Now then, we go back to Timothy. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, we're going to read a little bit. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I besought thee to abide in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach. Listen to me. Charge them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. That's my job. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swayed. They've turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law. Listen to this. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They tell you all this stuff. They don't have a clue. You know why they don't, Brother Tom? Because they're not using the inspired word. Oh, they don't like this book. They'll change it around and make all kinds. Make it say things that they want it to say. But whenever the end, as the old saying is, at the end of the day, it's still going to be the inspired word. All right? But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient. for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy, the profane, for murderers or fathers. Think about this as you read the TV and or listen to the TV and read the newspapers. The law is made for these people. It's not made, if you're following after the teachings of God and you're doing the things that you're supposed to, and when you mess up, confess it and admit it, and you'll be restored to the fellowship of the Lord. We're all going to mess up sometimes, but he said those people that continually do these things, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, man-stealers. Ladies, there's people out there that steal your man. Stand by your man. They'll steal your man. They'll steal your man. They're man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. If there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to our trust. Now, I've got to quit. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. But I'm going to leave you I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 16. Now, this is the purpose of the church, the purpose of the ministry, the purpose of us as a family. He gave some apostles, he said he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that means building up and strengthening the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth, now listen, remember what he said over there about those that teach doctrine? Who can I teach doctrine? Those that are weaned, okay? He says, the church is so, and the ministry is so that you will not be, no more children tossed about and to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Whichever the way the wind blows, that's what I believe. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby, remember what we read about in over there? It says, deceive. They don't want you to believe. They want you to be discouraged. They want you to be in despair. They want to take away your hope. They want to take away your joy. And they will, if you allow them. He says, but we are to speak the truth in love, that they may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which the every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, isn't that a marvelous reading? Now then, we have, and I printed some more, what we call articles of faith. These do not teach everything that's in the Bible. But these articles that we have are what this church, when it was constituted 116 years ago, in 1900, this church has stood firm upon these principles of doctrine. Now, when we, as the church, began to depart from these, or me as a minister, they began to teach other things that's here, then you need to have some admonition. You need some correction. You need some instruction. But I want to just leave you, and I encourage you. Now, these articles are just like they were written 116 years ago. In 1900. And the only difference is that I have added the scriptural references to these. Now, there's a whole stack of them back there. I encourage you to get some of them. But this is what the second article that this church was founded upon. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament are the inspired Word of God, are the inspiration of God. And they are infallible. They are the infallible rule of faith and practice. That which we believe, doctrinally and practice. Now, there is a lot that we could say about that, but when it talks about the faith, it was written in Jude chapter... No, it's Jude 1, verse 3. Jude 1, verse 3. It says, he went to write unto you more about the common salvation. He wrote unto them, he said, that you must earnestly contend. Earnestly. What does that mean, earnestly? What does contend mean? Just kind of halfway do it? Earnestly means you are to be up and about. You're to be busy, earnestly contending the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There is no more scripture being given. You got 66 books. That's all you're going to get. And that's all you need. They're a thorough furnisher for everything that we need. Everything in our life can be bettered by the Word of God. Our marriage, our home, our schools. Please, read these. Read, if you don't have one of these copies in your Bible, get one. And if you haven't read them, read them. And if you haven't looked up what the scriptures are that I've put down here, do it. And if you think I've misapplied these things, you come to me and we'll talk about it. But these are what this church was established upon. 116 years ago. Now, what did this country look like in 1900? You might get shot by an arrow. It was Indian territory. And it was not a peaceful place. We wasn't even made a state until 1970. But this church was established in Indian territory. Go read our history. These are principles, brothers and sisters, upon which you and I, we ought to thank God for the privilege of being identified with a church that believes these things. Are you? Are you thankful? Are you happy this morning? I hope some of the things that I've said to you resonate with you. I have put a lot of effort into this message, and I hope it's been profitable to you. I wanted to get it right, so reason I got all these notes here. Don't trust my own self, but I trust the Bible. Do you? God bless you is our prayer this morning. We'll stand and sing some wonderful familiar hymn.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, that's a good one. Number 157.
Oh.
Thank you. Here's Sandy singing. There's one more here. Desire to come. Not